Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins. Thank you for joining us this morning. We hope you've had a wonderful holiday season. We are back. Good morning, Lizzie. It is so good to see you.
Yes, it is so good to see you. And then, as always, Teresa and Tony made me some Christmas cookies. They threw them in the freezer because she knew we wouldn't be back for a moment. And so I got them this morning. I'm so excited.
You got them this morning.
So thank you.
You're welcome. And it's just been, we've just had a month because we had to do a best of because you were sick.
Yes.
With allergies and stuff. You're fine now.
Right.
And then we went into the next week was our end of the year Christmas special.
Right.
And we want to thank Tom McCubbin for coming in. And he was so much fun.
It was.
And we just so enjoy having him. And it was good for the gang to be back.
Yes.
And then the next week was New Year's. And so we are back today. We're going to be getting questions all morning. You can call in with your gardening questions this morning. But did you have a good holiday?
Other than being sick, it was crazy because I'm like texting Teresa going, look, I don't think I'm contagious, but I'm not sure if I'm contagious. So I didn't even do Good Morning Orlando because I didn't want to come in the building
right. In
case I was.
Right.
And then I didn't get better. And then I went to urgent care and they're like, yeah, well, you technically are not contagious because this is an allergy symptom that you have majorly, like sinuses and
right.
stuff. But then I ended up with food poisoning, and then I got over that.
Not from Tony's Christmas cookies.
No, because I hadn't gotten those yet. See, enough. I should have just came to work that day because those would have made me better. And then the allergy thing hit me again. So, but other than that, it was an amazing Christmas. I got all the things that I asked Santa for. So, how about you guys?
We had a wonderful Christmas. It was quiet, which was nice. And we just had a wonderful, all the grandkids, and it was a great time.
Oh, I love that.
It was a wonderful time, so we do appreciate it. We want to say good morning out there. We have a lot of people listening all over the world.
Thank you.
And yes, and so I want to give a shout-out to Iowa. We got a big following there in Iowa, and I know that's from Simon
Conway.
Yeah. And Buffalo, New York, lots of listeners in Buffalo, New York, Texas. Texas is big, and then Australia and Singapore. I mean, all these places outside of the United States.
And the thing is that Teresa can answer pretty much every one of your questions. So whenever you're texting us, then make sure that you text your first name or first name you want to go by. Just remember it when we ask and answer it. But your zone or your location. So
yes.
This way she can give you the proper direction on how to do whatever it is that
yes,
you need to do.
A perfect text message.
Yep, and then just quick synopsis.
Yeah.
And if you have a picture that you need to send her, don't text it, email it to her. And what's your email?
My email is Teresa, Teresa, @live.com. Live is what you want your plants.
Yeah.
Live.com.
That's good. I have to remember that one.
Yeah. And so we just did the weather. We have a cold front coming through this next week, which is good. The weather has been so boring. And I know it's great for tourism and people coming down to see family and the sunshine and getting out there on the beaches and the attractions. But I love cold weather. And we're going to get a little bit of it next week. We got a cold front coming through, and that always brings rain. Depending on the amount, we're supposed to get between 1 and 2 inches Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay.
And I'm looking forward to that. The ground definitely needs it. Our aquifer definitely needs it. Those of you who are new to Florida, our water supply is based on the aquifer. And we didn't get any storms last year, which was good on one hand. But on the other hand, we need that rainfall for replenishing our aquifer and going back into the ground. And so, we're going to get some rain. So that's going to be good. This morning at Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland, Howie and Karen, they are having a talk on the recipe for success for roses. So that starts at 9:30. It's BYOC, which means, Lizzie?
Bring your own chair.
There you go. Bring your own chair. And they have wonderful roses. In DeLand, Dana Venrick with Quality Green Specialist, they have wonderful native plants. And coming up this month, January 21st, is Florida's Arbor Day. And that is different than the rest of the country, which is in April. And it's because that Florida, you can plant in January. Planting trees in January is the correct way to do it. And so native plants can be planted in January. And Dana Venrick, Quality Green Specialist, has so many wonderful, wonderful quality plants and all different kinds of soil amendments and fertilizers and all kinds of great plants. And so this is the time of the year to go visiting our nurseries and getting plants that you would like. And so we want to say good morning and happy new year to Dana Venrick and Howie and Karen and Black Cow Manure and Summit Responsible Solutions. Great new year. Happy new year to all of our sponsors.
Yes. And you have your newsletter coming out. And yes. So you said Black Cow. Now I went and they are a sponsor of our show. However, I still purchase my products from them on a normal price. I just want to make that specific.
Right.
So they're not swaying my decision on using them.
Right.
And I am loving because I did raised beds on my porch because all I wanted to do was fist fight stink bugs this last year because they ate my tomatoes and caterpillars. So
right.
I'm loving this Black Cow because I don't feel like I really have to do anything major to make them grow and do their thing.
No, they love it. And so this is the time of the year to be getting the seed catalogs, getting prepared for springtime. And this is when all the catalogs come out. So we are going to be talking about what to do in your landscape this month for January and what to plant. And then our top five today is native plants that flower in the wintertime. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that. And so we're back. Good morning to everyone. Got a cup of tea right here. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a gardening question this morning, if you're up early enough and you want to talk about your landscape, your yard, your gardening questions, you can give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text Lizzie and I at 23680 with your name and your location, your city, and then your gardening question. We would love to hear from you, and we'd love to hear how their holidays were. Did you get anything great for your garden this year? We'd love to hear that.
Yes.
1-888-455-2967, or you can text us 23680.
And my question to our listeners is, are you still drinking eggnog? Because I still have about 2.5 gallons left, but they're in the little, what is it, the quart size?
The pint quart size, yes.
Quart size. So they haven't been open, and they say they're good until March. So I'm slowly going, yum. Christmas still.
That's wonderful. You know, it's amazing how scents, fragrances, and also tastes can kind of put you in that spirit, that holiday mood.
Facts.
And we need that now. We need lots of good things to make us feel good.
Well, you know what we have? We have spring coming up.
Yes.
And we've got all of our, I can't wait for the onions to start doing their thing. And I'm just so excited for the stuff that I've got planted.
Yes. No, it's just going to be a great spring this year. We're just looking forward to it. Yesterday I spoke to the Exora Garden Club, and a big shout out to Andrea and Sheila and Judy. The club is just amazing. And if you're new to Florida and you'd like to learn about gardening, get involved with a garden club, the Florida Federation of Garden Clubs, and that's ffgc.org to find out where there is a club meeting next or in your vicinity. And they were just so sweet and so nice, and they're really big bromeliad lovers. And so I did a talk on bromance, and so they enjoyed that, and they were very, very kind and very nice to me. So that was wonderful. So I'm looking forward to all the talks that I'm doing this year out to the garden clubs and service organizations. And I just love meeting people and talking about their gardens and walking around gardens. It just puts you in that good mood. And we need that so much. I think if the world would just dig more and get into the dirt a little bit better.
Oh, it's amazing. And the feeling, like, it makes you feel afterwards. Just make sure you have a nail brush on hand at every sink that you own in your house.
Yes.
And your shower. Because there are times that, it's not that I don't wash my hands, but it's like I got through like an hour and then I go to get in the shower and I'm like, where's my nail brush?
Yes.
Where's my nail brush?
Exactly.
So, yes.
Yeah,
so,
no,
but it's worth it.
It is. And so if you have a gardening question, 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. This month, Arbor Day is January 21st. Our average temperatures are in the low 70s. That's the high is in the low 70s, and our lows are in 50s. And so we're going to see that next week. So I'm very excited about that with this cold front. And we get about 2.5 inches of rain in January. And so next week, depending on how much rainfall you get, and I suggest everyone have a rain gauge that they put in an unobstructed place in their yard, like either on their fence where there's no trees overhanging or buildings close by, so you can get a good amount of rainfall that you get the accurate rainfall that you get. And if we get 1 inch of rain next week, there's no reason to irrigate. That's all the landscape needs. That's all your lawn and flowers and your beds need. But they're expecting a good amount of rainfall, 1 to 2 inches throughout the state. And Key West, you're going to have a rainy week next week, which I know they so need. Last week, January 3rd, we had the Florida Super Full Moon. If you saw it, it was wonderful. And the symbol for the Florida full moon is the snowbird moon.
Ooh.
And the super snowbird moon is because after the holidays, all the snowbirds flock to Florida to spend the wintertime. You'll find them all over the state taking advantage of the warm sunshine and numerous attractions. So we welcome all of them. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Just like Rachel, who lives in Auburndale. Good morning, Rachel. She said, I sent a question about what could possibly live on the south side of my house in the form of flowering plants. And so the south side is really a warm side, so I don't know if you have houses or if it's total full sun there. The south side does have morning sun, and you can plant a number of different ones. Let me give you some ideas right here of what you can plant. Okay, so you can be planting for perennials, you could be planting plumbago, you could be planting African irises, you can be planting pinwheel jasmines, also too, yesterday, today, and tomorrow's, and then all kinds of beautiful tropicals like crotons and Hawaiian ties. All of those will do well on the south side of the house. But also you can do these annuals. You can do alyssum, baby's breath, calendula, California poppies and cleomies, candy tuff and carnations, and delphiniums and dianthus, dusty miller and foxglove, gaillardias and geraniums, godetia and hollyhocks, Iceland poppies, lobelia, nasturtiums, ornamental cabbage and kale, pansies, petunias, Shasta daisies, status stock, and sweet peas. Those are the annuals you can be planting there. But for a perennial garden or for flowering shrubs, you can do some roses. The drift roses are lovely, and they do nice. So I would just want to know what kind of windows. Do you have a door on that side, Rachel? What do you have over there? How much space do you have to plant? And that will help me give you a better idea of what you need to or what you can plant there. So you can email me always, and I can send you a personal list. And if you want to send me a picture of that area, that will help me out too. And I don't mind sending you back some questions about or sending you some suggestions for that area. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. I still remember it.
You know, it's okay because there's like times, and Eileen will bust me every time our listener, she will call and I will answer the phone. Good morning, Orlando. And she's like, Lizzie, Are you feeling okay today? It's the wrong show. So, yeah. So, it's okay for you to have a blip with the phone number.
Yeah. And, you know, we have so many wonderful listeners that text and call in. And so, we want to wish them a happy new year.
Yes.
Ira and Mike and Lori, all kinds of great, great people. So, vegetables. What kind of vegetables can you be planting this time of the year? Well, this is a, we're still in springtime temperatures. So you can be planting asparagus, beets, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, and carrots, cauliflower, and celery, collards and endive, horseradish, I love horseradish, kale and kohlrabi, lettuce and mustard, onion sets for you, Lizzie, peas and potatoes, radicchio, radishes and roquette, rutabagas, which I love. I made wonderful Hop and John for New Year's.
Explain what Hop and John is for those that don't understand that verbiage.
Hop and John's is black-eyed peas, and I put in, chicken stock with it, with the black-eyed peas. I soak them and put carrots and celery and onions, and it tastes so good. And I make enough to where I can freeze it, and we can have it like in February and March and continue the good luck that you get from eating it on New Year's Day. And so rutabagas are great. I love rutabagas. Spinach, Swiss chard, and turnips. And so that is a, those are the vegetables you can be planting. But start looking for your late spring, early summer seed packets. You want to get what you want. And if it's too late in the year, you can't find them. This is a great time of the year. And then also to the seed catalogs. Send out, or the seed companies send out their catalogs. So Rare Earth and Burpee and all kinds of Thompson seeds are coming out right now. So check your mailbox. Let's go to Jerry in Citrus County. Happy New Year, Jerry.
Happy New Year, Teresa.
How?
I got a question in reference to last week's broadcast.
Sure.
On the you had mentioned an evergreen turf or grass.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering what it was, or what I couldn't really catch the name, so I could even look it up.
An evergreen turf. I have to think back. Okay, so evergreen turfs would in Florida here, evergreen turfs do go dormant in the winter. So it just depends.
Oh, okay.
But they might, depending on the temperatures, Jerry, it might stay green all winter long. Like St. Augustine hasn't started to turn yet either. Even some zoysia grass hasn't started to turn because we don't get the cold. So their turf is evergreen unless we get some really cold snaps or cold winter, and then they will go dormant.
Oh, I see. Oh, so there's no new turf out.
There's no new turf out. There's great turfs out for shade and full shade. So the Citra Blue is a really nice sod that I like to work with. Citra Blue is a nice St. Augustine. And then the zoysia grass. I like zoysia grass.
Yes. Yeah. We had a couple of slight freezes already, so most of our grasses, the turf here is brown now.
Right. Well, Citrus County gets a little bit colder. You had that cold snap a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. So, and then we had that one big hit in November, which caused a lot of damage, that really immediately. Mm-hmm. And then rainfall. How have you been doing on rainfall, Jerry?
Very, very bad. We're really low in the lakes. Not good at all. The gates are all closed, I think, so they don't drain the Withlacoochee.
Right.
Into there, because the Withlacoochee is actually lower now.
Well, so you're going to get some relief next week, so it should rain next week.
Good.
So let us know how much.
Badly.
I know you do. I know you do. Well, thank you so much for calling in and checking in with us.
Jerry. This is good. It's good to get I love our listeners, our regular callers. So I really missed all of you guys.
Yep, I did too. And so you can call in 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680 if it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and we are taking your phone calls this morning, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. Got a really good response. The texters are up this morning, but you can give us a call, 1-888-455-2967. And so we have Tom. And Tom, I don't know where you are, but you're saying it is, you're in the past you've grown purple passion fruit, but now you're growing the yellow passion fruit variety. Gets loads of flower, but never any fruit. So your thoughts are welcome. So thank you, Tom. That's a great question. So our native passion flower, a native passion fruit, is very, very very, very bountiful. We get a lot of fruit from it because it's self-compatible. And what I mean by that is that it will fertilize itself. It's self-pollinating. And so we get a lot of fruit from it. But the red passion flower and the yellow passion flower are not self-compatible. They need another variety there. So do you have another passion, a purple one there or another yellow one there that you can that can help it get pollinated? And so that's what I would suggest. Also, too, you don't want to use a fertilizer that's high in nitrogen. You want to use one that's high with that middle number, that phosphorus, and that's going to encourage it to flower. Using a lot of nitrogen or a high number analysis nitrogen fertilizer is going to encourage more leaves than fruit. And so it puts all its energy into growing leaves. And so you want to use, you can just use phosphorus direct, phosphate direct, or you can use a blooming fertilizer on it. But you want to make sure that you have another another passion vine there that it can cross-pollinate with. All right, so that's a really great question. Then we got, let's see, Eric. Good morning, Eric. He is always a faithful listener all through the week and on the weekends. And so he's just funny. And he said that evergreen turf was that an artificial football field. Let's go to Eileen in Polk City, Polk County. Good morning, Eileen. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you also. We had a very quiet Christmas. It was just Bob and I. Aww. And he didn't want me to cook.
Well, that's...
And I wanted to cook. So we ended up with some awful biscuits.
Oh, now see?
Oh, my goodness gracious. And you didn't make them?
No, that wasn't me. So I ended up making biscuits and gravy. So I told him next year, do not ask me not to cook. I said, because I am cooking.
You know, to be honest, I think, Eileen, I think you did that on purpose just to prove a point. I'll be out there with that.
Okay. Maybe so.
But anyway, you had a question about your African violets.
Yeah. Teresa, do you remember when I had cut three leaves off a different African violet?
I do.
Okay. They all have babies coming up.
Oh, that is so wonderful.
Them, and I have like four coming up on one. Then there's a slow starter that only has one, but they're all rooting.
Excellent. Good. I'm so impressed with how easy African violets will multiply and produce just from the leaves. And so I bet you're going to have beautiful ones. So here's my question. I'm wondering if they produce flowers that are true to the same color, or whether they will hyper, or not hyper, but, you know, have a different color.
Because I mixed
yes.
two leaves together.
Yes.
And they were different colors, so I can't wait to see.
Yeah.
And you also wanted a picture of my bird feeders.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Send those to me. I would love to see those.
Okay. Next week.
All right. I'll be looking forward to them.
All right. You take care.
Thank you so much, Eileen, for calling in. That's wonderful. So she has the bluebirds. And so she lives next to a big field, and so I'm interested in seeing her birdhouses.
Yes.
And her bird feeders, and yes, seeing all the birds. And I love this idea of being in Polk County and just being out in the woods and in the fields and just being out in the country.
Yeah, you haven't been through there lately, have you?
No, yeah, it's not like that, is it?
A nice growth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, welcome to Florida.
That's what I see, a new development going in. Oh, my goodness.
And I just know. Kind of,
but, you know, we can develop smart. So,
and also the thing is that, like you said, we can develop smart. So if you are buying a new piece of property, I know that each county, I'm assuming each county, but as Lake County, we always encounter that you have to have X number of trees on,
yes,
your property to,
yes,
get approved.
Right.
So quickly do your, there's two things. Quickly do your research of what you can put in your yard that will help with the environment, as in the birds and whatnot. And then second, please don't plant them underneath electrical wires. Please.
Yes.
You know why? No. Because you think that the small plant's going to stay small. You need it. It's going to get bigger. And then the power company's going to come through and shred your trees like they do our cedar trees
it
every year.
It drives me up the wall.
But that's our fault because, yep, we planted them along
and
the electrical lines.
And we mandate
lines.
The trees. And so I would prefer for smart development to have so many trees per street. So that one person has a big oak tree on their property, but it shades the next one.
Right.
And then the next one, so like one every two houses or so. But we have these zero lot lines, and five trees on a zero lot line is,
yeah,
not smart.
Yep. So get out there and plant some trees. Arbor Day is coming up.
Yes.
And then this way you can help, even though we got a lot of growth, but you can help the environment that way. With
that is so true.
Yeah.
And help the birds and create.
We've got, it's that time of year, we've got, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, but it's how I pronounce it in my head. Pileated woodpeckers.
Pileated. That's it.
Anyway,
pileated. Yes.
No, it's pileated. Yes, you're, yes, right. But every year.
It's just
I
wonderful.
I love them.
Yes. That's what the woody woodpecker,
yes,
was created from. They're huge.
And they're little red
crest.
Oh, so,
it is.
I love it. But they don't want to be photographed. I can they will sit there and peck and peck and peck, and I'll get out there with my cell phone. I'll get it ready. I'll zoom into them because, of course, they're on like a, you know, a 10,000-foot tree because,
yes,
you know, they don't want to be anybody see them. And they will look at me, and they're like, nope, I'm out of here. But you'll know a pileated woodpecker when they fly because they do a flap, 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 up, and then they come down. They do flap, 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 up, and come down. So
you should see Lizzie in the studio do it again.
There you go. I'll do that again.
We're going to be back with more of your phone calls, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's top five.
And my top five this week is the top five flowering shrubs, native flowering shrubs and trees. Number five is the sky blue cluster vine. This is a native plant, flowering vine, that is known as the Key West Morning Glory or the Pineland Cluster Vine. It is occurs naturally in coastal hammocks and along wetlands in South Florida. Typically flowers in winter, but it can bloom fall through late spring. It is listed as endangered, so we need to plant more of it. Carolyn Jessamine is number four. It is another native vine that blooms in the wintertime to early spring. The vine's yellow, trumpet-shaped flowers, sweet fragrance that attracts pollinators and hummingbirds. You can plant it on a steep bank or a slope or from a trellis. Number three is the Eastern Redbud. And the Eastern Redbud is a beautiful native tree that has heart-shaped leaves, cordate-shaped leaves, and pink flowers. It signals the end of winter time, so it's going to be in a few more months, but it is absolutely beautiful. And the second one is a Chickasaw Plum, which does have edible fruit on it. It's a Florida-friendly small tree that looks good in the landscape, and it will put on new leaves in the wintertime, but it will also produce beautiful white flowers. It has a cousin called the Flatwoods Plum that is just gorgeous. And the number one native flowering tree or shrub for the winter and early spring is the deciduous tree, Fringe Tree. I love it. And I have one in my yard. The leaves just turned yellow this last month, and it will be producing flowers in the next few weeks. It's a great plant tree for your landscape. This month is a great one to plant for Arbor Day. So thank you so much for that. Let's go to Howard in Tallahassee. Good morning, Howard. How can I help you?
Oh, good morning. Nice to listen to the show again. How are you this morning?
I am great. Thank you so much.
Listen, you helped me out a little bit last year. Then a buddy of mine, Lance, chimed in because he obviously listens to the show in the morning too. And I'm a novice. I'm a novice at planting flowers and planting trees. I've been doing it at my home in Tallahassee and my property for about the last 5 years. And I thought about you last Saturday, but I just missed the cutoff. I'd like to plant some flowers. I'm looking to plant some type of a low-maintenance flower in my flower beds in the winter, and something that I can spend a little bit of time maintaining, but I can flower and put a little color in my flower beds. I live on the top of a hill in direct sunlight pretty mm-hmm. much year-round.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, you get some pretty good advice.
Generally.
Thank you so much,
well,
Howard.
When I say generally, you should see how some of my stuff ends up. You know, it's not exactly Better Homes and Gardens.
There you go. Well, I'm not going to blame you. It must have been something I said, Howard. And so, so I have a couple of choices for you. One is the two that I just mentioned, is that sky blue cluster vine and then also beach sunflower. It does well on slopes, and it blooms year-round. It puts out a profuse amount of flowers in the springtime, but it will really do quite nicely. I also like lantana, and we have native lantana. That goes a little dormant in the winter, but regular lantana will have wonderful color for you year-round. So those two choices for a ground cover. You can also do mimosa, sunshine mimosa. And if you want to do shrubs, you can do also a firecracker plant, which looks really great on a steep bank. And it's got red flowers, red tubular flowers on it. So out of those, those are some really good choices, I think.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Generally, I mean, it's been good advice. I've done doing much better with my flower bed. So what I do is I just kind of spin the wheel and let it land on one of the ones that you said. And I plant it, and I'll do you one better than that. I'll give you a follow-up back and let you know how great it looked. And,
wonderful.
Hopefully it would come out well.
Okay, so let me just ask you, what is it, in front of your house or behind your house to the side?
It's in the front of the home. I sit up on a hill in North Tallahassee. You get a lot of sunlight, mm-hmm. and got some pretty big beds.
What color is your house?
It's almost like a pretzel. It's a stucco home. It's pretzel colored.
Pretzel colored. Okay. So anything white will look really good. It'll stand out. And then yellow, that beach sunflower, will look really, really, really good.
Good advice.
Okay. And
well, you know what?
What?
I'm going to give it a shot. I wrote every one of them down.
I am so proud of you, Howard. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. That's great. I can't wait to hear how it turns out. That's a wonderful call. 1-888-455-2967. If you're in the garden area, we got just a few more minutes, or you can text 23680, and I'll answer it either before the end of the show or during the next hour. Let's go to Mike in Venice. Good morning, Mike. How are you? Happy New Year.
To that previous caller again, I could listen to him all morning long.
Right?
I expected him to break out and sing us a song. I was ready.
There you go. I agree with you. He had a wonderful radio voice.
Yes. Look, I've got a little bunny rabbit that's liking my Calabricola, my pretty yellow flowers. I've tried something called Liquid Fence. Mm-hmm. You got any other products or suggestions for rabbits?
Yeah, there's a Rabbit Be Gone. There's products that are done by Messina, Messina, and they have products that will keep wildlife away, and they have it specific so that they have deer and rabbit and, you know, fox and things like that. So I would check those out. I'll send you a link too as well, Mike.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you, Teresa.
You're welcome. Take care. Thank you for the call. That's Mike in Venice, longtime listener. And he's got a beautiful home, a beautiful garden. And he does really nicely. So Dave in Palm Bay says, I plant tomato plants and they get a lot of flowers, but they don't pollinate. What do I need to do? Well, you know, it's got to be at a certain temperature. And so, Dave, you want to make sure that the temperatures are not over 85 degrees. So the times to plant tomatoes are in the early spring, you know, March, April, May, and then in the fall. And then that would be October, November, and, you know, a little bit going into December time. And so those are your best chances to get flowers. But you also want to check, make sure you've got full sunlight and that they are getting pollinated. So you want to make sure that you're, you know, not spraying chemicals around your house so that you're killing the pollinators, that they're getting active bee activity or different types of, you know, pollinators that will come to them. So I just need to know a few more questions. Are you fertilizing? And, you know, what time of the year are you growing your tomatoes at? We can grow them twice a year. So I would check that out. When the temperatures are over 85 degrees on a consistent basis, which they may be in Palm Bay, then they're not going to pollinate. They just don't do it. They'll grow, and they'll grow through the wintertime. They'll grow through the summertime, you know, but they're not going to pollinate. So that's why we, you know, throw them out and just start new ones in the fall.
Yes.
Spring. So coming up next, we have a great, great interview coming up for you. Madeline Hooper. And so she's the star of Garden Fit, and she gives advice on what you should do in gardens before, you know, you start gardening. And that's very important. And so Tony works out in the yard, and he'll come in, like I said earlier, and, you know, I'll say, you need some aspirin or ibuprofen? And he'll say yes or no. But he'll say, it's a good pain, Teresa. And I just need to find out from Madeline, is there such a thing as a good pain?
You know, you never know. And also, we need to, I'm excited to listen to this because we don't want to acknowledge that we're getting older and whatnot, because, you know, you don't want to become, you know, old and decrepit. But
right,
to help kind of prevent, you know, doing certain things that are going to cause a problem, she's got some ideas for you.
She is wonderful. Her program is wonderful. So I'm looking forward to talking with her. Also, too, the newsletter is coming out this weekend. If you'd like to receive the newsletter, I tell you what to do in your landscape each month. What I have a plant of the month, which this month is really exciting. I'm telling you, this was not a plant I knew about, but you're going to want to have one in your pollinator garden. And then landscape malpractice.
That's my favorite spot. I'm telling you, because Teresa will point out respectfully things that people are doing, especially the landscape people who should know better. She'll point it out and be like, hey, look, this, just check and make sure that your person isn't doing this.
Exactly. And so I've got that. And then also too, Lizzie, your adventures in the garden area, we have those, and you got some great pictures. I just am going to tell everybody they stink. That's all I'm going to tell you is they stink. All right. You got to get the newsletter to find it out. So, we do appreciate all the calls. Thank you so much. We're going to take more of them in the next hour. 1-888-455-2967 or text 23680. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you missed any of the show or any other shows that you'd like to go back and get a recap on, go to betterlawns.com. That's betterlawns.com.